Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Faith on the Road to Success. I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. This is a program where we talk about fundamentals of success. And success is what you define it as. What may be success to me may be of absolutely no interest to you. There are certain principles, however, that translate over the entire spectrum of what we consider success. Some people may find success in being able to bake cookies for people and bring joy and watch the face of excitement on people, kids and adults, making donuts, making an immaculate-looking lawn. It may be singing. It may be bringing health care. It may be all of these things. It may be something that we haven't even talked about. It may be in providing service to your fellow man. We have politicians, and sometimes that is a dirty word, but it doesn't have to be, because we have people with conviction that are willing to step up, that are willing to speak their mind, that are willing to stand up for principles rather than the local lobbyist or what have you. We sometimes have a skewed picture of what that is. And even if that is a true picture, you can do your part to make changes. We do that. We look at what is and what is not necessary for success. I want to pay a tribute to a friend of mine, Apostle Armstrong, who set up the platform that we are discussing tonight. He lost his wife. She transitioned of almost 60 years. I've known his wife for 60 years. I've known him slightly longer. And during the process, wonderful people. He went into the ministry. He was a social science major. I was a chemistry major. I had no interest in any of the social sciences because, one, I did not understand them. I understood those principles that did not move. And what I mean by that, I don't mean to discourage it, because my wife is a social worker. Through her, through much of the work that I've done, I began to appreciate the social sciences. As I worked in a laboratory, I was only interested in the technical aspect of life. But I began to see, as I went into supervision, that many of the people that on paper looked outstanding and plums, prizes, diamonds in the rough, what have you, to find out that for some unknown reason to me, they didn't flourish like I thought they would. On the other hand, I saw people that I did not think would flourish do so right in front of my eyes. And I began to question, what in the world is going on? Why are some of these people super successful and some not? And I find that it has to do with many of the social sciences. I went from there into an administrative job. I worked in human resources. In human resources, I saw things that I never, ever imagined. I imagined if I saw them on a TV or movie screen, I would think it was absolutely fictitious, bunk. But I found out that the only surprises in life were me saying that I will never be surprised again, only to be surprised again and again and again. I began to change my view of what drove people, what made them successful. When I chose to go into chemistry, one of the reasons that I did was because I thought that I could make a difference. Being from the South, I was hesitant to step foot into that ring because I saw what happened in many cases to people that had those ambitions but did not have the right skin color, the right hair texture, the right eye color. What does that have to do with anything? It should have absolutely nothing to do with it, but all too often it does. Now, I'm not talking to any particular race. I'm not talking to any gender. I am talking to the heart, mind, and soul of my listeners. The heart, the mind, and the soul of my listeners. Because I begin to find the genius within is exactly there. It's within the person. It's within a person that does not see limitations to them. It's within the person that realizes that they were created by a superior being. And that superior being gave them what they needed. Sometimes it did not come in the classroom. And we sometimes equate that erroneously with success. Sure, it is a measure of success. But there is a degree of practicality that goes into success, a degree that all of us have. Sometimes we look at a person that's on the autism spectrum and we think, no, they cannot do it. But it brings joy to me to see them accomplish. And that's one of the reasons that I have this program. I'm not accusing anybody of being on the autism spectrum. But it does not matter to me. Because if we can find the heart, the mind, and the soul, and work with them, can become successful. I've seen people that wanted to do something and it involved electronics. They didn't know electronics, but they found that either they could learn or they could work with people who could. When you put out a plea to this superior being, which I consider to be synonymous with the universe, something happens, and I've seen it happen time and time again. And what we're talking about are ways to tap into that vast resource, to tap into that vast resource. We see it, and we see it many times over. I worked at one time, my father had a class. He taught a class at the School for the Deaf and Blind. My initial thinking when going out there was that there was something wrong with these people, There's nothing wrong with them. There are limitations, yes. But people can overcome limitations, We see it every day, but we don't think about it. We don't think about how it represents us, how it shows the abilities of the Supreme Being. It's there, my friends. It is there. Because I've seen people do this. I had a young man who was blind. How did I know he was blind? Because sometimes I would ask him and he would say no. So I began to question whether he could see. One of the things that I would do is in the shop, we have two-way switches. When you come in, you turn the light on, usually, right? Now, in the old days, the switch would be down when it was off, up when it was on. But with a two-way switch, it may be up and off. The whole thing may be reversed. This guy was smart. And I have to give him credit for that. While he could not see, when he would come in, he knew I was going to ask the question, are the lights on? And he would always discreetly feel the light switch. Say, yeah, you know they're on. But I had turned them off with a different switch. So it was up. So we find that people can make certain assumptions. Now, it didn't make any difference to him. But he had developed a method of making sure that he didn't trip over things. It has been a practice that few people have mastered, probably more than I think have mastered it. But it was echolocation. Look it up sometime. You can make sounds. And the return, the echo, which most of us don't even consider or pick up because we don't know the frequencies to send out to determine the difference in coming back. And he didn't trip over things because he had a knack of knowing where they were without being able to see them. This is how bats navigate. This is how some other creatures navigate. They send out sounds. We find this in many undersea creatures that are able to locate things many miles away from them. We find that elephants have a very, very low tone that they can send out that can travel for miles. I can't hear it. They can. In some respects, that makes them superior to me. Do I get mad about it? No, but I understand it. So what do? We develop things like sonar, which imitate those people, those skills that they have. And it's possible that there can be people that are extremely skilled in that. When we see a submarine going, we know that it can determine if there's something in front of it, if it's moving. And we cannot tap into the mind of some of these creatures. But we have been able to make contact, train many of these animals to do remarkable things. So it is how we utilize what we have. Are there limitations? Yes, there are limitations. But I'm not sure that they are permanent limitations. When I first saw a blind person pouring themselves a cup of coffee, you know, my mind is spinning. What in the world? How are they going to know when to stop? Well, they sometimes discreetly place a finger in the cup. You may not even notice it. But they can feel the temperature. They don't have to burn themselves to know when it's full, but they have developed. And I use a skill sometimes when I'm filling up my water bottle in the refrigerator. I can hear the change in pitch. I know what's going on. I don't have to see it to see it. You have skills that you may not even realize that you have. You may have an ability, if you want to do something in electronics, to talk to people and communicate in a way that they know what you want. I have thought that at times that I needed an invention only to find out, oh, we got this. This will do what you need to do. When I first got started as a chemist, I ordered some equipment, very expensive equipment. And one of the vital parts of it, because I was using mercury, making a falling drop electrode to measure and make a potentiometric determination, they had not sent the little capillary tubes. But I find that by talking about it, I find that I can make or have made because it utilized the skills of a glassblower. We had a glass blower. I could talk to him. I could tell him exactly what I wanted. and he could make it. A very skilled person. I don't know his educational level. He was a craftsman. And we sometimes think that craftsmen are not as smart as someone else. But I have seen many people that had degrees that did not have the practicality of application. This is where I think intelligence meets the road. This is where success is generated. What do we do and how do we do it? We find that, for example, in candy. Let us take jelly bellies, and there are other jelly bean type things, but they do an extensive amount of research in flavors, taste, colors. And sometimes the ones that they are trying to imitate have a purpose beyond what it appears to be. But as we become more and more knowledgeable, we sometimes see pairings of food, this and that, that we sometimes didn't think would go together. There was a time when I thought you could not put onions and cheese together. And it came about because I had ordered something. It was in a paper bag. The bag got wet. To me, it tasted like onions, and the food that it was touching, which was cheese-based, did not taste all that well. So we sometimes go around with ideas that we may gain from experience, but we have to verify. Is it real or is it not? When we have people, and I'm sure that we have some, that are interested in writing children's books. I've thought about it as of late, but it did not start off as something that I was very interested in. Why did I become interested in that? Because, for example, in South Carolina, kids have to be on grade level by grade 3. Why is that important? Because so much of the work that they are going to be doing from that point on are dependent on the ability to read, And we have people, we have adults that have not fully mastered the skills of extracting all of the information out of our written materials. What do they do? Nothing. Now, sometimes you have to realize that there are limitations on what you do. I found this out when I got my first Kindle. Kindle is a device like a computer screen. Usually they're smaller. 7 inches, I think up to 10 inches is normal size for a laptop. I mean, for a tablet. And I, at one time, had one that was 18 inches and loved it to death. Big for most people, fine. Suitable for me, yes. But one of the items on there that I found was extremely helpful is as I'm reading something, touch that word and bring up a dictionary. Why did I need to bring up a dictionary? I thought I knew the meaning of the word. I may know a meaning of a word. I may be able to place it in context. But as I began to explore more and more those things that I thought I knew, I found gaps. And sometimes it is a relative meaning. This implies a little more than that does. And so the choice of words and their significance took on more meaning. Now, that works for adult as well as children's books. Now, when we're talking about children, we have to try to understand how children understand the material that's presented to them. It can easily be too complicated. If it's not something that they're interested in, They don't want to be bothered. And this is what I had observed in my early years of school. And I was just writing a few words about it the other day. The books that I had talked about Dick and Jane and Puff and Spot. And I, to this day, have not run into a family in which those are the creatures. Spot and Puff were the dog and the cat, and Dick and Jane were the parents, and so and so and so and so. It just did not fit. So a lot of people lost complete interest from the very beginning. Adults and children, I want you to take this to heart. When you are trying to develop your skills at reading, start with something you're interested in. Start with something you're interested in. Pursue it. The first time I read a book from cover to cover, I was in high school. It was not an assignment, which probably made it more palatable, because I hated being forced to do something. And I was in the band, and I ran across a book about Louis Armstrong, trumpet player. I'd seen him perform. I didn't know what his life was like. But as I began to go into his life, I began to see areas that I was interested in. I began to see things that were related to me. I had seen this because there were kids in my class that could remember numbers like crazy. But when we were talking about numbers, those weren't the numbers. And while we were, it would have been advanced to some of them to understand how to calculate a batting average, I'm sure that they could have comprehended it because that's where their interest lie. That's where their interest was. That's what would have pulled them into mathematics. When we look at people like Benjamin Banneker, for example, who is known for astronomy, laying out the city of Washington, D.C., and other things, one of the things that very few people know about is the fact that he studied the 17-year cicada through four cycles. Four times he did this. We become interested in something, and we focus on it. There are people that can probably do work with electronics today that have not had any training in it. They trained themselves. How did they do that? They were interested in it. They read books. They read magazines. They watched videos. They did everything around that particular item. Now, sometimes we don't need to know all of that information. I'm not the most artistic and creative person around. I am not. And sometimes it's easier for me to pay somebody $5 to do something that is that they're willing to do for that than to try to learn it myself. I want you to understand where I'm going with this. Because in order to follow a job from beginning to end, while it is nice to be able to know how to do every step, it's not essential. Let's look back at history. One of the greatest inventions ever was the McCormick Reaper. You know how many times Cyrus McCormick demonstrated that Reaper? Take a wild guess. And if it's more than zero, you're wrong. Cyrus McCormick never demonstrated that. Cyrus McCormick always had his slaves demonstrate this complex machine, indicating that he may not have even known how it worked. But somebody else can. Like I said, I have had things that I wanted to, quote, invent, end quote, only to find out that something else could do it and do it even better than I could. We have to be open to these possibilities. When you go to your higher being, your higher self, your role models, the universe, ask and it will be given. Ask and it will be given. It may be putting you with somebody that can help you. I've had situations like that. I was at the public library asking a particular question to an expert. The expert didn't know the answer to the question. I'm glad that he didn't try to BS me as if he did or she did, whatever the case may be. But what happened is I picked up a conversation out of the audience looking to ask this expert, and there was the answer. There was the answer. Was this person an expert? I have no idea. But they had that valuable piece of information that I needed. If you're baking pies, you may find a secret where you least expect it. Sometimes we use water, and sometimes the water is too warm to do what we want to do. Sometimes we're looking for a flaky crust, and we are going about it all wrong. We find that when we make cookies, we can make slight changes to the recipe that will either make a soft, moist cookie or a harder cookie. It comes from knowledge. It sometimes comes from experimentation. Do you think that Colonel Sanders and Kentucky Fried Chicken came about because he read the recipe in a cookbook somewhere? Possibly not. They used to talk about 11 herbs and spices. You don't hear them talk about that so much nowadays. I have seen recipes, and I have actually used recipes that are pretty good substitute for that. But what says that we can't come up with something that people like as well or even better? Nothing. Now, tastes vary from region to region. Some areas you can go in, and if you order tea, it's going to be sweet. Other regions you go in, it's not. If you want it sweetened, you have to do it yourself. Sometimes those local differences affect a product. This is why I went to a restaurant in Maine, and they specialized in hot dogs. They had many, many regional hot dogs, and what they did is they bought product from the areas where these were the popular way. If it was a New York style, they got them from New York. If it was a Carolina style, probably a manufacturer down here. Or if it was somewhere else, and they put the condiments on accordingly. Many of these products can be popular. A Chicago dog is different from what I grew up with. In fact, when I went to Washington State, I had a taste for a hot dog, a really, really strong taste. I happened to go into a Dairy Queen, and they had chili dog. Chili dog? Why you call it a chili dog? It's a hot dog with some chili on it. So I ordered one, and I said, what in the heck is this? For one, there are beans all over the thing. I had never seen chili with beans. Now, there are arguments going on now. Beans, no beans. Beans, no beans. We're also beginning to see fusion cookery, where different countries are coming together. Like in Phoenix, there's a Chino Bandito, which I think has Chinese and Mexican food. We begin to see these things. Is that something that you could not have come up with? You may be excellent at it. but did not realize that you had the potential of doing something with it. I remember my mother had a restaurant, and we decided to make candied apples because they were extremely popular at the fair, but we couldn't get them. And so we started off. We started with sugar, and we made candied apples. And they were great for a day, and then they started to go back into sugar, which was not good. We experimented and experimented and experimented and came up with a great, great way of making them. Did we look in a cookbook? No, we experimented. While I did not have a candy thermometer, I had basically found out about the hard crack, the soft crack, the whatever that I only learned about later. Don't be afraid to go down a path that you didn't know existed. It may be a good path, may not be, but you find out something from it. Failure is not permanent. Let me repeat that. Failure is not permanent. It only becomes permanent when you quit. When you quit. We could have quit. We never would have known. But we continue to do it. My mother knew a lot about home economics, cooking, cuisine, and did some research, came up with a formula. Now, I can tell you one thing. You don't want that hot mixture to get on you because you can't sling it off. It burns, and you can stand there and do the Watusi or whatever dance you think you're going to do. It hurts. But you soon learn where and what you can do. Once you do that, even the most complex process becomes simple when you take it down into steps. I found this out when I was trying to work in chemistry in the laboratory. Sometimes I tried to do too much at one time. And sometimes I found out that an intermediate step here and there were essential. Looking at the beginning, looking at the end sounds very, very simple. Sometimes you think all I have to do is stick in a pH meter or pH probe and I know exactly what's going on there. Sometimes there were things that interfered with it, and I don't want to go too deep into the scientific end of it because this is not a scientific program. To those people that do want to do that, we can do that. But I don't necessarily want to do it on the air unless I have people that are interested. Speaking of people on the air that are interested, there is a way to contact me on the air. And that is by calling in this number, and I'll give it to you, 668-8217. Again, that's area code 646-668-8217. Put that in your phone. Write it down somewhere, whatever is necessary. Because all of the programs on Blog Talk Radio / Crown Talking Drums, that is a way of contacting the host. Now, you may be listening to the program, and you may be using a link. And most people are using the link because I don't put the active phone number out because I've had a problem with getting on at the right time and using a Facebook link. We won't go into that. But most of you are listening by way of a direct connection. But I'd love to interact with my audiences. Now, I come on Sunday at 4 p.m., and I encourage you to ask questions there. That program is Did You Know? And we look at those parts of history that are very seldom talked about. And let me give you an example of that, because I think it shows a particularly dogged look at a person that had to scratch his way to success, but he did it. And that is Dr. Solomon Carter Fuller. Solomon Carter Fuller. He was actually born in Africa. His parents had been enslaved in America. His mother's father was a doctor, but they went back to Africa on one of these back to Africa movements, and there were more than one, because we were not welcomed here. We wanted to go back. We wanted to go back to the motherland. But as he was there, he wanted to pursue an education. He wanted to pursue an education. Now, this is a reverse of what it used to be, because the early Romans, the early Greeks, went to Africa to get their education. But Solomon Carter Fuller came to America and enrolled in Livingstone College in Salisbury, North Carolina, a historically black college and university. And he got his degree there, but he went further. He got a medical degree, but he didn't stop there. He became a psychiatrist. He became the first black psychiatrist in the United States of America. And when he did so, he did research into a social area, and he began to look at the degenerative diseases, including one that we today call Alzheimer's. What is remarkable is that he did this 100 years ago. He looked at the brain of those people suffering. He knew about information that we're just learning about, the tangles in the brain, the reaction of the proteins and whatever. Now, he was successful. In fact, he was personally selected by Dr. Alzheimer to further the research. This is the most unlikely person to do that. But he published works in English and German. Dr. Alzheimer was German. Much of the work involved German. We sometimes don't think that people are capable of doing it. Now, I've taken Latin, and I see root words. I see things come up. I understand that knowing the classical languages of Greek and Latin can be extremely helpful, particularly if you're in a technical profession. We can do it. We see that as slaves ran away, many times they were advertised as being a polyglot. What is a polyglot? It's a person that speaks more than one language, because in America, we spoke more than one language. There were German people that came over that had slaves, and they spoke German, Dutch, other languages. And people were able to do this in both categories, speak and communicate in both categories. We had people that were great at numbers. History doesn't tell us this, but we have to know, and we have to manifest that understanding and desire in ourselves. I have a cousin that passed about a year, year and a half, 2 years ago, was a great mathematician. In fact, they almost get kicked off of their sharecropping spot because she understood numbers. She kept books. And people found out that she could calculate, and they got extremely mad. That doesn't happen, you say. When we look at Ruby Bridges, Ruby Bridges did not live with her grandparents. She lived with her parents. They didn't live in the same town. But Ruby Bridges' grandparents were kicked off of the property that they had sharecropped for 20-plus years, because she integrated the schools in New Orleans. We don't understand the depth, but we have the capabilities. We can find a way. Many people see sharecropping as a fantastic thing. Sounds good, but until you look into the books, until you understand the practices, And this is part of what got me into my real understanding of social sciences and of history even, because we see that so much was manifest. When you go to the Capitol building in Denver, the Colorado State Capitol, in the House of Representatives is a glass, stained glass memorial to Barney Lancelot Ford. Barney Ford struck gold in Colorado. Whoopee, whoopee, whoopee for him until he tried to register his claim. No blacks need apply. No blacks need apply. We pride ourselves on being fair to everybody in this country. Ain't necessarily so. So Barney was denied that. He found a way around that. He hired a lawyer, told the lawyer he'd give him 20% of all of the claim. Lawyer was greedy, filed a claim in his own name, had the sheriff kick Barney off of the claim. Barney still prospered. People that can prosper in one area can prosper in more than one area. Barney Lancelot Ford was such a person. When he was born, he only had one name. As he was becoming successful, he looked for a last name and discovered it on a train, the Lancelot Ford. I haven't been able to find a picture of it. If somebody does, please contact me. But he did that. In fact, he built a building that's in Denver now. I think it's at 15th, and I can't remember the cross street, that still stands today. There is a will. There is a way. One of the other people that was found in Denver was Clara Brown, Aunt Clara, and there are books written about her. The law had to be changed because she was not recognized as a founder of Colorado because of the color of her skin. But one of the reasons that she went west is because she heard that blacks were prosperous in the West. She did. She had four children and was separated from all of them. One of the cruelties of slavery is that husband can be sold away from wife, wife away from husband, parents away from children, children from their siblings. And what had happened in a flood, she had lost one of a set of twins. Another had been sold somewhere out of the state. Her son, her husband, had been sold to different places. She never saw them again, but she held out hope. Hope is what makes success, drives us. She moved to Denver. She became wealthy in Denver, washing and repairing clothing of miners. She owned lots of property. And during the flood, when the records were, quote, destroyed, a lot of it couldn't be found. But Clara Brown held out hope. Every time a wagon train would come through, she would ask about her daughter. Finally, she found word about her daughter. They communicated. Clara Brown found her in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Now, how many people today even think of black people in Cedar Rapids, Iowa? Clara Brown had gone back to her native country, I mean her native state, I think it was Virginia or Maryland, and paid for an entire wagon train to bring people out that wanted to be free. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what I'm talking about when I say, what is success to you? She was dedicated to freeing her people. She caught a train. She went to Cedar Rapids, Iowa. She saw her daughter, finally reunited with her daughter when she was 80 years old. They ran to each other. They hugged. They fell in the mud, but they were happy. A lot of people wouldn't do that. A lot of people would have given up hope. Success is built on hope. Success is built on love. Hate does not attract success. Does not attract success. I had a situation where I could have hated a person. I could have hated them with ease. And it was about, I was about to fall down that path until I realized that the person being hurt by following that path was me. It would have eaten me from the inside out. I would have become a shell of myself. I would have collapsed in on myself. I had to find faith in my Creator. I had to find faith in the universe. I had to find that faith within me and find out the core of me did not, I repeat, did not want to follow that path. Because a situation happened, and I called this person at that time a liar. And the voice that came out of me actually scared me. I knew that if I touched him, he would not have survived. It was that much anger, that much resentment, that much hate. And if I had allowed it, it would have ridden me to death. I had to forgive him. I could not go around with that persona of hate within me. Forget? No, I just talked about it. Did not allow it to consume myself. I prayed. I prayed about it. Please let me get over this. Please get me through this. About that time, I came down with a health diagnosis that I had lung cancer. 6 to 10 months to live was what the experts told me I had. This was in the mid-90s. I could have allowed that to haunt me to my last days. But I prayed. It was hard. I prayed. Not easy. I prayed. It was worth it. I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, I could be here asking you for my help. I could be asking you for many things. But I want you to be in charge of my life. I want you to determine. All I ask is that you give me the strength to endure. That's all I want. Wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, however you want me to do it, I turn it over to you. It's too big for me. I can't do it by myself. I had to release the hatred that was building up in me. It's like a dam. Right now, we see what happens when a dam comes to overflowing. There can be a catastrophic loss because it breaks. It destroys the dam and everything below the dam. But if it's properly built, if it's properly reinforced, if it's properly maintained, it can withstand. Ladies and gentlemen, in particular the boys and girls, because I do hope that we have younger readers, younger listeners listening to us, because this is where your success comes from. When somebody tells you it can't be, don't believe them. When somebody tells you it can't be or that you can't do, don't believe them. Because there is a force stronger than they are. That force is a God. That's why we have to have faith on the road to success. We can't have faith in ourselves and not have faith in God. That person, that force that created us, is important. Is it easy? No. Because I had so much hatred in me for that one person. Well, not one, two, three, four. I mean, it could grow. Because there was a company involved. It could have grown. It could have gotten easily out of hand. I could have done something that would have brought great embarrassment to my family. Because I know where I would have been. I would have been in prison. I'd probably have been sentenced to death. Is that going to bring goodness into their life? No. It's not going to. But as I succeed at things, yeah, we can share those. We can laugh about them. We can joke about them. We can talk about them. Nothing is too big for our Lord. But we have to demonstrate our belief. We have to demonstrate our faith in what he has done, and that is to create us, create a will, create a mind. To those of you that are listening, I want you to understand that I'm not talking to the person next to you, to the left, to the right, behind, in front of. I am talking to you. Take to heart what I'm telling you. This is one of the better parts of my week. When I can share with you the path that I've walked. Was it difficult? Yes. But I don't want you to follow the same path. I know some of the holes, some of the sinkholes, some of the ruts. I know where the overhanging limbs can hit you in the top of the head and knock you on your behind. I know that. But I care enough about you. I care enough about my Lord, my Savior, about my faith, that I believe it necessary for me to tell you. That's why it's part of the greatest part of my week, to share this with you. We started with a tribute to my classmate and his wife. Apostle Armstrong, his wife Lena, known them for 60 years, admire them both greatly and what they've done. But the possibility of your voice coming to you would not have been possible without. He has created something that is magnificent, dynamic. You can do the same thing. You are capable. You're masterful. When I look at you, I don't look at things that you have no control over. Your skin color, your hair texture, your eye color. I told you, there are three things that I look for. The heart, the mind, the soul. They were given to you so that you could line them up as need be and use them. Have faith in yourself, faith in the universe, faith in our Creator. We have about 5 minutes left, and at this point I don't see any strange numbers on my screen. I'll give you that again because we come to you every Thursday. 646-668-17. We'll be closing the broadcast because I want to give my good friend, Deacon Armstrong, the opportunity to bring his program on at 8 promptly. And in order to do that, it needs a few minutes to shut this one down, start up the other program. And with that, I want you to take a good, hard, reflective look at yourself and understand that you are not a piece of junk, that you can perform beyond what you believe you can because of the greatness that comes from the faith in yourself, the faith in God, the faith in the universe. The program you're listening to is Faith on the Road to Success, and I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. I will see you again next week at 7. I encourage you to listen to Brother Armstrong at 8. And I do come to you again on Sunday at 4 p.m. where we'll be talking about a renowned cell biologist and her struggle to become a great, great individual. It's motivating. I encourage you, I encourage your children, and I encourage you to share that particular information Sunday on the same link that you used to get here. So let me close out so that Brother Armstrong can get his program up, and I recommend listen to it beyond at 8 o'clock. Be blessed, my friends, be blessed. This is John C. Abercrombie and Faith on the Road to Success. Success can be yours. Thanks for listening.